We're doing Birkei de Rabbi Eliezer. We're up to the 42nd chapter, page Kuf Samach in the Eshkol edition, Shina in Vav in the Zichron Aaron edition. Vayhi b'shalach paro ta'am, when Paro sent the nation out of Egypt, Zeshamar Katuv, about this period in Jewish history, the verse says in the Song of Songs, Shelachayich pardes rimonim. Shelachayich, the Medrash is understanding to mean when you were sent out, you were like an orchard of pomegranates. Ma ha-pardes hazeh maleh min etz ilan oseh pri lemino. Just as the orchard, pardes, has so many trees, and each tree produces its type of fruit. Kach yatzu Yisrael min Mitzrayim meleim kol tuv. So too Israel left Egypt, filled with all types of good, mimine brachot, from the different types of blessings. They had all kinds of good things coming with them. Shneimar, as the verse says, Shelachayich pardes rimonim. You're being sent out of Egypt was like an orchard of pomegranates. So the Midrash doesn't expand, but perhaps we can suggest that the rimon very often is a reference, the pomegranate is a reference to Tayag Mitzvot, and the blessings that we left Egypt with were the blessings that really now we received, that this was the proof that we were the chosen people, because the discernment between Yitzchak and Yishmael was very clear. Yishmael is ben Amma, Yitzchak is ben Rivka, Yitzchak Yikare Lechazara. But when it comes to Yitzchak, the same mother has twins. How do you discern between Yaakov and Esav? And so the Haggadah points out, Yaakov uBanav Yaldu Mitzrayma. Esav went to Mount Seir and he lived his placid life. But Yaakov and his children went down to Egypt. We were the fulfillment of the prophecy of Yado Atidaki Ger Yezaracha. God says to Avram, your children, who will be my people and inherit the land of Israel, they will be sojourners in a foreign land for 400 years. And so when we left Egypt and we fulfilled that prophecy, so now we got all the blessings of Avram, the blessings of Yitzchak. Now we were that pomegranate. We were prepared to receive our Taryag Mitzvahs like a pomegranate that's filled with seeds. Perhaps that's what the Midrash is alluding to. Shelachayich, when you were sent out, pardes limonim, you were like an orchard of pomegranates ready to be filled with seeds that are edible, ready to be filled with luscious mitzvos. Yes?
Pomegranates open up while still on the tree, which attracts birds, and most orchards, the fruit falls to the ground and rots on the ground and attracts bugs. So it's much prettier and much more, not sanitary exactly, but I don't know the word anymore. Pomegranate orchard is going to attract pretty birds and not make a mess, horrible mess. While other types of fruit will attract, it'll be a mamash of a mess.
Okay, very nice.
And it just drips, like the Ramon just drips seeds.
Ah, yeah. Rabban Gamliel Omer, Hamitzrim Radfu Achei Bnei Yisrael Ad Yam Suf. Rabban Gamliel says the Egyptians chased the Jews till the Yam Suf. Vayu Yisrael ben Hamitzrim uben Hayam, and the Jews found themselves between the Egyptians and the sea. Hayam lifneihem, the sea is raging before them. Vayev achehem, and the enemy is raging behind them. Vayu Yisrael et Hamitzrim, and the Jews turned back, and they see the Egyptians attacking. Venityaru harbe meod, and they got very, very scared. Visham hishlichu kol toavat Mitzrayim alehim. And it was there, as they're standing by the Yam Suf, there, as they don't have any hope how they're going to get out of this, it was there that they threw away all the idols. Until this moment, they still had one in their back pocket, one etched out on their sack, another one engraved in their little amulet. Now, they're standing at the sea, and they realize that none of this is going to help. The Egyptians are there, the sea is there, and they call out to Hashem, and now we have a great insight as to what was the importance of Mamad Yamsuf, of calling out to Hashem. Because it wasn't only about calling out to Hashem, it was about getting rid of the idols. Oh. Vasu tshuva gedola. And they made a tremendous repentance, a tremendous tshuva. They made a tremendous tshuva at that point. And here there's a discussion, the Radal wants to suggest that they threw away the To'avat Mitzrayim is a reference to the meat of the Egyptians. That same meat that the Egyptians said we can't eat with the Jews, because the Hebrews eat our God, the meat is the Egel, the calf. And it was until they were standing at the Yam Suf that they still had calves with them to worship. And it was there at the Yam Suf that they discarded those calves. But inside their hearts, they had not completely discarded them. And that's why when they're looking to make something to worship, something, because Moshe's gone, they make a golden calf. That's a suggestion that Radal makes over here. That's one midrash, okay? So, there are two psukim. One says like that, and one says like that.
There was a Ramban who said that that they didn't, that the people didn't ask for anything. What? You just heard it tonight.
Yeah.
The Ramban said it.
So, the midrash is focusing on the pasuk that says "Vayitzaku bnei Yisrael el Hashem." That when the Jewish people were standing at the Yam Suf, they called to Hashem, and the Medrash is learning that the call to Hashem was not just a prayer to Hashem, but it was a recognition that Hashem is the one that runs the show at this point. And at this point, they got rid of the idols they had with them from Mitzrayim, Shneimar, Ufaro Hikriv, Vayisuv Bnei Yisrael et Einehim. And it seems that the Medrash might be learning, the way other Midrashim learn, that Ufaro Hikriv does not mean Uparo Karav, that Paro came near, but rather it is the active unto others, Uparo Hikriv, Paro made them closer. Paro, in his chase, made them closer to Hashem. Uparo Hikriv, Paro made them closer to Hashem. And then when the Jews turned their eyes, they saw Paro, they turned to Hashem. V'ra'a Moshe b'tzaratan shel Yisrael. Moshe saw how the Jews were in this dire circumstance, and this Medrash always blows me away. What does that mean? Moshe wasn't in danger? I don't know. The Medrash says Moshe looks on and he sees how the Jews are panicked. And what was he? You're saying on his level of emunah he wasn't in a problem.
No.
Okay.
No.
Who was captured by the prince's guards, who had to keep it a secret that he killed an Egyptian, who ran away from the Egyptians to Midian.
He's not on the same level as the rest of them.
Okay,
he's
don't
married
know.
To a... what's his name was...
Yitro?
Yitro was... I can't think of the word. An advisor to Paro. No, he's not at the same level. He's a political figure.
Okay.
The king of Amalek gets out of it. Everybody else gets killed.
Okay. The Amad litpalel alehim. And Moshe stood up to Davin. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu daber b'nei Yisrael v'Yisau. God says to Moshe, move! What you davening for? Tell them to travel. Amar Moshe efne HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Moshe says to Hashem, Ha'ivim machim v'yam lifneihim. The enemies are behind. The sea is in front. Lezeder Chisau, where exactly do you want us to go? Me'asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did Hashem do? Shalach leMichael asar gadol v'nasa l'chomat esh ben Yisrael v'en Mitzrayim. He sent the angel Michael, that great officer, and he became a pillar of fire between Israel and the Egyptians. V'ayu ha-Mitzrayim rotzim l'vo achar Yisrael v'lo ayu yichulim l'vo m'na'esh. So the Egyptians are charging ahead, but they can't advance because there's this pillar of fire in between them. V'ru elyonim b'tzartan shel Yisrael kol ha-layla. Now, the problem hasn't been solved. There's a protecting wall behind them. The Egyptians can't advance, but they got nowhere to go. So all night long, the angels up above see the Jews in panic because the problem hasn't been solved. God isn't letting them be annihilated, but he hasn't given them a solution. They're still stuck. So on that night, the angels were silenced. They didn't give their song of praise they ordinarily do. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. God said to Moshe, Moshe, n'teit yadcha alayam ufkehu, raise your hand over the sea and split it. V'natam sheit yado alayam, v'lo kibel alav leibakea. Moshe extends his hand over the sea, and the sea doesn't want to split. So we see that sometimes God gives us instructions, and suddenly they don't work. You know, you try to turn the key, and the engine doesn't start running. But God told me to go. Yeah, so maybe you got to figure something else out. When God says something should happen, that doesn't mean it's going to work on autopilot. We often think, if God told me, it's easy. I know it's simple. I know what God wants. No. Very often God leaves it to us to figure out how to do it when God tells us. God doesn't give us all the solutions. He gives us the direction. So Moshe lifts his hand, says the Medrash, and the sea doesn't split. It's a phenomenal concept. He lifts his hand, God told him to do it, and it doesn't work. So we shouldn't be so surprised when Moshe hits the rock and water doesn't come out and that doesn't automatically light a spark by Moshe, hey, maybe this is wrong, and Moshe hits the rock a second time. Yes?
They're both water.
Right.
Water is gashmius and most people furthest away from God.
I don't know. Der'au brit mila. So they showed him the covenant that the Jewish people had given up their, they had risked their lives with the circumcision. V'aron Yosef, and the Aaron with Yosef's bones in it. V'amateh shechakuk alav shem meforash, and that staff that had God's hidden name engraved in it. V'lo kibel. And you do all that. 1, 2, 3. Split. It's not splitting. It doesn't want to split. V'shav Moshe lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amar. So Moshe comes back to God. He's tried everything and it's not working. And he says, Ribon kol olamim, hayam eno shomea li. Moshe says, Master of all the worlds, the sea isn't listening. He told me to do it. It's not working. What am I supposed to do now? Miyad nigla alav HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chvodo al hayam. And right away Hashem himself appeared over the sea. And the Medrash is explaining the Psukim. Initially it says, Moshe raised his hands over the sea. Then the Pasuk says, Vayolech Hashem. Hashem himself made the sea move the other way. So the Medrash is saying it was a two-stage process. He raised his hand, it didn't work. He turned to God, then God himself came. And Uvarach Hayam, the sea ran away. As we say in Hallel, Hayam Ra'a Vayanos. The sea saw and ran away when God came. And the waters trembled, they were gripped with fear. And they went to the depths. The waters saw you, God, they feared. On the day that the waters split, which was the same day Hashem made the waters split, so they froze and became 12 paths, Shem Keneged, 12 Shvatim, corresponding to the 12 tribes. V'nasu Chomot Maim, and there were pillars of water, uven Shvil Shvil Chalonot, and there were windows in between the pillars, v'yu Roin Elu Telu, and they saw one another, v'ru HaKadosh Baruch Hu Me'alech Lifneim, and they saw God walking before them, v'ikvot Raglav Lo Ra'u V'lo Nodav, and his heels, so to speak, were not revealed. So to speak, God trampled on the sea, but they couldn't see his trampling. שנאמר ראו הליכותיך אלוקים, וכתיב בים דרכך ושביכם מים רבים, ועקבותיך לא נודעו. So you understand there's a deep Kabbalistic concept, this idea of God's heels, whatever that means. That they couldn't know. They could see God walking before them, but they couldn't really see his footsteps. So obviously that's telling us something, but I don't know what. Yeah.
Where did the Arab go? The guy whose dad is an Egyptian?
I don't know. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Halachu Yisrael Lavo Li Yam Suf V'Chozrim Lachehim. The Jewish people approach, they see this miracle, and then they run back. They're scared. Yireim Shema Yeshuva Mayim Aleihem. They're scared. Maybe the waters will come down upon them. Beshev Binyamin Ratza Likanes Sham. And the tribe of Benjamin wants to enter. Shneimar Sham Binyamin Tzeir Odim Yoredim. Hetchilu Shevet Yehuda Rogmin Otam. The tribe of Yehuda starts stoning them. Shneimar Sarei Yehudam Rigmatam. Vekafatz Nachshon Tchila Layam. And Nachshon says, I'm going first. He goes first into the sea. Vekidesh Et Shema Gadol Leinei Hakol. And he sanctified Hashem's name in front of everyone. ובממשלת יד בני יהודה נכנסו אחיהם כל ישראל לים. And under the rulership of Yehuda, everyone followed into the sea. שנאמר הייתה יהודה לקודשו ישראל ממשלותיו. של יהודה. The pasuk says, Yehuda was the sanctifier of Hashem's name. Yisrael was under his rulership. Whose rulership? The rulership of Yehuda. והיו המצרים רצים לבוא אחרי ישראל וחוזרים לאחיהם. And the Egyptians run after them and then they turn back. Yireim Shema Yeshuva Mayim Aleihem. They were scared. Maybe the water will come tumbling on them. Me'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu. So what did Hashem do? Nirah b'mayim kishuchev susya. Hashem appeared over the waters like a man riding on a female horse. Shneimar l'susati b'rechvei faro. V'asus she'ahoche rochev paro ra'a susya v'ratz v'tzal v'nichnas le'yam achem. Paro's horse got all excited. He sees this beautiful female horse in front. He's in heat. He runs after that female horse. And Paro's horse charges into the sea. So the Egyptians see their king went into the sea. They all followed suit. The Egyptians followed. And then the waters right away came back and covered them. Then Benazai is going to start explaining to us how the Egyptians were paid back. They sunk Jewish children in the Nile. Hashem sunk them. And that's where we'll pick up Emil Tzashem next time.